Proverbs chapter 2. Stand together, please. Beginning in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and imply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. It's kind of what I was saying to you, Sonia, and of course earlier to all of us. Sometimes we just need to cry out to God. We just need to pour out our heart to God. He wants us to do that. And by the way, that's a tremendous blessing to be able to do that. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. I love that. He preserveth my way.
Amen. Yeah.
He protects and preserves the... Listen, he's got a will for my life, and nothing the devil can do to keep me from fulfilling the will of God.
That's right.
Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. He preserveth the way of his saints. Then shall, that's not the Catholic Church either, by the way. Amen. Those are the saved, born-again believers. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Look again in verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. I'm going to try to preach to you on understanding the fear of the Lord. Amen. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray for your help tonight. I thank you, Lord, for loving us. And God, for giving us a chance to stop for a while and gather and assemble ourselves together. Lord, please use your word. Now bind Satan. We've all been out in the world. We've seen things. We've heard things. Lord God, that our eyes and our ears would never have chosen to hear or see. But Father, we ask you now to purge those things from our conscience. Purge those things, Father, from our memory. And we plead the blood of Christ tonight. Now give liberty to your spirit. Fill me, I pray, God, with nothing but words for your people. Oh, how I love them, and I thank you so much for each one of them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. In the Bible tells us, we know, in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, if you want to look over there, just real quick. I mean, we're going to use our Bibles, always do, but the fear of the Lord, verse 10 of chapter 9, is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. According to verse 5, we're back in Proverbs 2 again. Understanding the fear of the Lord, finding the knowledge of God. According to verse 6 then, it's the Lord that giveth wisdom. God is my source of wisdom. More specifically, can I say it's God's word? Notice it says, out of his mouth.
Amen.
And verse 6, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. His words, the words, look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my what? My words, okay? We have an every word Bible, amen? There's nothing that we need to know more than what God has revealed to us in this book.
Yeah, right.
Everything's in here that we need to know that God wants us, the secret things belong unto the Lord.
Yeah.
But everything that he wants us to know is right here.
Right.
The wisdom that he wants us to have is right here. And he says then that he giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh wisdom, and his words then. So it's not my experiences that give me wisdom.
Right.
Now I know the hoary head is a crown of glory, and I know all that. But it's only because of that hoary head being attached to this book. Because
right.
I know a lot of white-headed people.
Amen.
And so do you. They ain't got a lick of sense.
Amen, bro. Come on.
They ain't got a drop of wisdom.
Right.
So it ain't guaranteed just because your hair turns white. No, forget it. It's the Lord that gives wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
Out of his mouth cometh wisdom. I mean, I know some white-haired people that I wouldn't give you. Well, anyway. I wouldn't take their advice, put it that way. Okay? On anything.
Right.
Okay, so it's not my experiences that make me wise. And can I tell you, listen, it's not my imagination that makes me wise.
Right.
I'm not. We're supposed to cast down imaginations. That's what the Bible says. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and I'm going to bring in every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Anything that goes against, that runs through my head, that goes against this book, is to be cast down.
That's right.
Because it's exalting itself against the wisdom that God wants to give me through His. It's not my imaginations. It's not my relatives. Don't get quiet if you want to, but I know some of you wouldn't do anything to go against your relative.
Well,
you wouldn't do anything to go against mommy or daddy.
Come on. Great.
I'm going to stop right there and go on, because if I don't, y'all are going to hate me. I'm going to get in trouble. But here's the thing. Out of God's mouth comes wisdom. And can I tell you, it's safely to say then, there's no other place, there's no other source of true wisdom. There is no other source.
Right. Right.
Now, there's a lot of books written about the Bible that contain wisdom, but only because they're written about the Bible. But there's no wisdom outside of this book that goes against this book. Everything that we need to know that makes us wiser and helps us and grows our knowledge and understanding, this right here, the source of it is right here. It's the Word of God. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and wisdom. He's the one. So and then it goes on to say there then, I think I can safely make this statement, and you'll agree with me, based on our text verse here, number 5. Most people don't understand the fear of the Lord. I mean, I don't even know that I can't tell you I understand it completely, because again, it's God's word, it's God's ways. I'm still learning, I'm still growing, but I'm telling you, according to verse 5, there's a lot of people that don't understand the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about lost folks. Obviously, they don't.
Right.
This chapter starts off by saying, "My son." Okay, I'm going to take that as written to a child of God, okay? And then he says that there's a few things that you need to understand so you can understand the fear of the Lord. Most people don't understand the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
We know that wisdom, according to Proverbs chapter 4, is the principal thing. But listen, the fear of the Lord is the door to wisdom.
Right.
The fear of the Lord is the key that gets you in the door. Jesus Christ is the door. Okay, I know all that. But the fear of the Lord is the key. Let's put it that way. Have you want to pray or illustrate it? The fear of the Lord is the only way to be wise. God, look in verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. It's laid up. It's just waiting on the shelf for you. But without the fear of the Lord, you're never going to obtain it.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You're never going to have it. Therefore, I would say it's pretty important. You know, kindergarten is the only way you'll ever get to graduation. Right? I know some of you are thinking about graduating, but you know you'd never graduate if you never got to kindergarten. Boot camp, right, Brother Worcester? Right, Brother Bruce? Boot camp is the only way to military service.
Amen.
You got to go through boot camp. You can't skip it.
Yeah.
You can't. The fear of the Lord has been described as reverential trust. I don't necessarily like that, but I personally liken it more to just simply taking God seriously. We need to begin or get back to, maybe, or refresh our memories or whatever you want to call it, that God is a God that deserves to be feared by His people. I'm not talking about being afraid of Him, but we should be afraid of Him.
Amen, that's right.
Amen.
Well, He's my loving Father. I guarantee you that when I was growing up, there were times when I was afraid of my loving Father because I wasn't right with my loving Father.
Right.
Are y'all okay tonight?
Yeah.
I feel like preaching tonight, so I'm just going to preach.
Amen.
It's preaching time anyway, isn't it? I mean, where else did you come, right? Did you come to fellowship? We did. Did you come to sing? And we did. But it's preaching time, amen. And listen, there's times when I realize in my own heart that, you know what, I'm not right with God. And at that point in my life, it's one thing I need to realize. Love is fine. Grace is fine. Salvation and mercy and forgiveness. But there's a fear of God that needs to be upheld where it should be, in its rightful place in my heart.
Yeah.
You're not going to have any wisdom without any fear of God.
Right.
If God says to do something, I need to do it. because my life's in His hands.
Amen. That's right. Absolutely.
That's pretty much the fear of God. If God says to do something, I need to take it seriously. Listen, because it's my duty.
Yes.
I mean, because He's my creator. He's my maker. He's my sustainer. He's my savior. He's my God. Yes, He's my Father. I understand all that. But He's still God.
Amen.
We've gotten away from the fear of the Lord. We've gotten away from even talking about the fear of the Lord with this love generation that everybody loves everybody, but nobody fears God at all. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, I know Christianity is not about duty, but listen, there is some duty to it. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Glorify Him. That's a duty that we have. Amen? We have a duty to obey our God, our Heavenly Father, our Commander-in-Chief, our Captain of our salvation. We have a duty to do what He says. And if we don't, we need to understand that He can very well pay back and give us some good old-fashioned chastening.
That's right. Amen.
Correction.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Whooping.
Yep.
Amen.
Take us out to the woodshed, like I heard Brother Fugate say the other night. I used to take my son out to the woodshed. We didn't chop any wood, but we did start some fires. Y'all get that in a minute, I guess.
Amen.
We need some old-fashioned woodsheds nowadays, don't we? I got to hurry here. Okay, the fear of the Lord, listen, let me say it to you this way. The fear of the Lord is not so much what we believe, but what we do.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Come on.
The fear of the Lord is not so much what we understand, but what we do.
That's right.
See, people don't understand the fear of the Lord.
Right.
It could be compared to virtue. I'm just to add to my faith, virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is just simply doing what I'm supposed to do. It's obedience. Can I, you know, I could sum it down, sum it up, and boil it down to that obedience.
Amen.
Obedience. You know what? Listen. Obedience is not complicated.
That's right.
It should be something we could all understand. It's not complicated. You know, many people look at leadership, like maybe mom and dad or boss at work or pastor, and they say, oh, it's easy. I mean, he just gets to tell everybody what to do. No, you got it backwards. You know, the easy part is you just do what you're supposed to do. That's the easy part. This person up here has got to make decisions that affect everybody. That person's got to make decisions that affect, you don't have any idea what they're making that decision for. All you got to do is obey. That's the easy part.
Amen.
That's the easy part. Wives, submit yourselves therefore unto your own husbands. And women their feathers just go up like this. What's wrong with you? What's the heart? Listen, God says you submit. When things go upside down and backwards and sideways and overturn and everything gets rough, guess who God's going to blame? It ain't you, it's Him. So you just obey.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
That's the easy part.
Amen.
He's the one that's got to make all the decisions. He's the one that's got to decide which way to go. He's the one that's got to find the will of God. All you got to do is submit. That's the easy part.
Amen.
Eve should have got that right, huh? Anyway, y'all, I can tell I'm not going anywhere with that. That's the easy part. But nobody understands that.
Yeah, hello.
I don't understand why I got to submit to my husband. Because God said so.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's easy to understand. I don't understand why. That's not the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's you trying to decide whether or not you're going to do what God says based on your understanding. That's not the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
We don't understand the fear of the Lord for the most part, especially 2016, 2017 American Christians. Just briefly here, let's look at the verses here. And I spent too much time already, but In Proverbs, I told you last week, like 14 different verses mention the fear of the Lord, because it's key, again, it's key to all wisdom. It's key to all knowledge. It's key to all understanding. It's the fear of the Lord. So just briefly, and we'll get to some other things here, but just briefly by way of introduction, to give us a greater understanding, look over in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, there it is again. But notice, but fools despise wisdom. So right off the bat, I can see, to understand the fear of the Lord a little bit better, I realize fools don't have any.
Try it.
Therefore, if I decide I'm not going to have any, I place myself on their level.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
That's absolutely right.
Oh, y'all understand that? Y'all okay? If I decide I don't have any fear of the Lord, I decide I'm going to do what I want to do, then I'm placing myself right over here in the circle of fools.
Amen.
True. That's what it says. Fools don't have any. Don't have any fear of the Lord. They despise wisdom. They don't want wisdom. They don't want instruction. They don't want anything. They don't want. I can't fear man, however, then, or I won't have any fear of the Lord. Fools live for themselves. Fools will do everything they can to get what they want to get out of life. Yeah. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That doesn't mean he believes it. He's just said it in his heart, because everybody knows there's a God. Yeah. Only a fool would say there's no God.
Right.
Yeah. But also that fool therefore despises the fear of God and wisdom and instruction, because it means that he doesn't know everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Like he thinks he does. But in the case of the fear of God, fools don't have any. And therefore I need to understand that if I'm going to have this fear of God, I'm going to be very careful that I either have the fear of the Lord, or I'm congregating myself with a bunch of fools. Look at Proverbs 1:29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I brought this up a little bit last week, but I want you to understand something. It's a choice.
Amen.
Now everybody talks about, well, God puts that in your heart. God needs to put the fear of the Lord in his heart. No. God put that in there when he saved you.
That's right.
His Holy Spirit.
Amen, brother. Come on.
So what do you mean, preacher? But the Bible says it's a choice. It's not about God need to put it in anybody's heart. It's about you need to submit, there it is again, obey and do what God says, and choose the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
So tonight, before I go any further, it would be a good idea for all of us to sit here in our nice comfy chairs and say, okay, God, I don't know where the preacher's going with this message exactly, but I choose to fear the Lord tonight, at least until I get through with this message.
Amen.
That'd be a good start.
Amen.
Now, so it's a choice that I make. It's, in other words, there's no excuse for not having it.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. I can choose. Now, if you're saved tonight, obviously. I'm talking to saved people, I think. I hope, as far as I know.
Amen.
I can choose correctly. I can choose to have the fear of the Lord. I'm not unable to obtain this, is what I'm trying to say. Proverbs 8:13, quickly. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is. Here we go with some is's. This is exactly. Here we go with some description. Okay? It is to hate evil. Mm-hmm. Now remember, I'm choosing this.
That's right.
Listen, don't over spiritualize what I choose to hate evil.
Amen.
Well, I just don't know that I feel. No. I choose to hate evil because I fear the Lord.
Amen.
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 I mean, I think even Terry could understand that.
Amen.
But yet somehow, somewhere, it's like, we don't understand that, preacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, you do. Yes, we all do. I choose to hate evil because I choose to fear the Lord, because I know that He hates evil.
Amen.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride. Now, Satan's character is described in one word: pride. Can I tell you, the number one enemy of the fear of the Lord is pride.
That's right.
Listen, are you listening to me? The number one enemy of what I'm talking about tonight is pride. Therefore, that's why God listed at the top of the list. I hate evil, pride.
Yeah.
Because pride is the source of that evil. Pride is the reason that I would hate, I would choose evil over the Lord. It's pride, because I want to do what I want to do. It's what Satan does. It's what Satan did. It's what Satan continues to do. Notice it says arrogancy.
Yeah.
Pride's in my heart. Arrogancy is when it comes out and begins to manifest itself in my life.
Amen.
And I began to look at people like I'm better than them. And I began to be that Pharisee. And I began to be that self-righteous, critical, fault-finding, independent, fundamental Baptist with the biggest head in the world.
Amen, brother. Come on.
Puffed up beyond belief.
Amen.
God says, I hate that stuff.
Amen.
I hate it. I hate it. If there's somebody in this church that you think you're better than, you right off the bat, you better stop right there where you're sitting, and you better sit up straight, and you better understand something. That's evil.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sounds good.
Amen. Yeah, you're right.
Amen.
Can I tell you? If you think you're better than anybody out there in that world.
Amen.
Oh, no, preacher, that's different. I'm saved, and they're heathen. They're wicked. I know that. But you were too.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you could be again if you let. The Bible says over there in 2 Peter that if you don't add to these things, add to your faith, you can get to the point where you've forgotten that you were even purged from your sins. I know some people like that.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
Well, why? Because they didn't fear the Lord. They didn't hate evil. They didn't choose to hate evil. Well, you know, can I tell you something? Let me stop right here and say this. When I hate something, it's going to bring a reaction.
Yeah.
It's going to cause a reaction in my life. In other words, if I hate something, I'm not just going to tolerate it.
Yeah, right. Amen. Come on.
I'm going to be against it. I'm going to do everything I can to keep it away from me. I'm going to do everything I can to keep it away from my family and my children and my church and my home and my heart and my mind. I can't hate something just passively.
Yeah,
that's right.
Come on.
Amen.
Tolerance. God says, I hate pride. You know, how does he show it? He resists it.
Yeah.
I hate arrogancy. And notice he says, and the evil way. No, he doesn't say evil. He says the evil way. Now, pay attention tonight. I'm helping you if I don't know how to get through all this, but if I say I hate abortion. Everybody hates abortion, right?
Amen.
I mean, it's murder, right?
Amen. Absolutely.
Then why don't I hate boys and girls holding hands and kissing before they get married?
Amen. Come on.
Good.
Come on. Preach.
Ooh, preacher. That's the evil way. That's the way abortions get there. That's the way that they get to that abortion. That's the way they walk. That's the path they walk down before they get to that place. So why don't I hate the way that gets them there?
Amen.
Yeah, come on. Great.
Good.
Amen.
God says it's good for a man not to touch a woman.
Amen.
Amen. Come on.
Not to touch a woman until they're married.
Great.
Right.
Why? Because that's the evil way. That's the way that leads to everything else.
Yeah. Come on.
It opens the door to evil.
Come on.
And remember, we hate evil, so I better hate the way to evil too.
That's right.
You might.
I mean, otherwise, what's the point? I just think I'm going to walk the evil way, and then when I get to evil, oh, I hate you. You're so bad, evil, and I'm just going to keep walking. And I know I'm making sense crazy, but that's the way we live nowadays. We talk about how we hate the evil, but yet we walk in the evil way every single day.
Come on.
Remember, I'm talking about a choice.
Yeah, come on.
A choice. If I hate drinking, if I hate smoking cigarettes, then why don't I hate the television that's teaching my children how to do it?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Amen.
Preach.
I mean, I don't take my kids to a bar, so why am I going to let them sit in front of a TV and learn what a bar is all about?
Yeah.
Come on.
Learn how to act. Learn how to talk. Learn how to walk. Learn how to dress in a bar. Why don't you just take them down? Well, I'm never going to take them down to the bar, preacher. No, but you're bringing the bar to your living room.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Preach.
I hate the evil way. We don't understand the fear of the Lord, do we?
Amen.
We sure need to. We sure need to.
Amen.
If I hate it, then I need to hate the way to it. I need to turn away from it.
Yeah.
If I hate, listen, he says a froward mouth. Froward mouth is a perverse mouth, a crooked mouth, a lying mouth, a hateful mouth. God, listen, I can't overemphasize this. In this very short list of evil that God lists here in verse 13, he talks about the mouth. The choice that I have to hate evil is to hate everything from the pride of my heart to the words of my mouth and even the way that leads to that evil. Now that's pretty serious. That seems awfully extreme, but I can't tell you that it says anything else because that's exactly what it says.
Amen.
God says, you know, you don't worry so much about the evil. Just hate the way to the evil, and you won't ever get to the evil.
Amen.
Right? Somebody said it's a lot easier to avoid temptation than to get there and try to resist it. I know I've used that before, but it's good. I like it. I'll use it again. Because it's true. Instead of resisting temptation, pray that you enter not into temptation. Deliver us from temptation. And God says, don't even get down in the way and that mouth of yours. Yes, your mouth is evil. Our mouths are evil.
Right.
Crooked, full, forward, perverse. So to hate... The fear of the Lord, then, is really boils down to simply hating evil.
Right.
Hating evil. It's a choice that I have. And remember, fools don't fear the Lord. Fools live for evil.
Yeah.
So, fools don't have any fear of the Lord. So, if I congregate with them, then I'm not going to have any either. And then I'm going to learn the ways of the evil man and the strange woman, and I'm not going to have any fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is to simply hate evil. It boils down to those two words, hate evil.
Amen.
Not tolerate it, not play with it, not try to avoid it, but hate it.
Amen.
I'm hurrying here, but that's really what the fear of the Lord boils down to. Two words, hating evil. We don't understand it. You say, well, I thought that was wisdom. No, that's just the beginning of wisdom. Can you imagine? You can't imagine. Just look around. Can you imagine the type of person that has no wisdom at all because they have no fear of the Lord at all because they have no hatred of evil at all? So the choices they make day after day after day are completely removed from the fear of the Lord because they're completely engulfed in evil, surrounded by evil everywhere they turn, and then they wonder why they make stupid decisions.
Yeah.
Hello.
Amen.
Amen.
They wonder why they do stupid things, and they keep finding themselves back in the same rut after rut after rut. Well, what's the problem? It all boils down to right back here. The door to the wisdom that I don't have is the fear of the Lord that I need, and that fear of the Lord is to hate even the evil way.
Yeah,
you might.
That would be an amazing revival if we all just got a hold of that little bit of information right there.
Amen.
Amen.
That's old-fashioned, preacher. And come on. We live in America. Don't you know, preacher? I'm telling you what, I've got to be careful. There's so much evil that we play with every day. That we call entertainment. That we delight ourselves in, even. And we wonder why we have no power with God.
Amen.
Yeah. We wonder why things aren't happening like they used to. And I'm telling you what, folks, there's a difference between a man who fears the Lord and a man who's a fool and has no hatred of evil. There's a big difference night and day between those two people, and they can be sitting in the same church. They can be saved by the same blood.
That's right.
Amen.
What is this... Hatred of evil produce in my life? What are the blessings? I mean, by the way, if God's pushing me to have this fear and to understand this fear, then He's obviously going to give me some fruit when I get a hold of it. Yes, He is. Look in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 26. Yeah, I like this one. I like them all, but this is good. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. I said, preacher, man, how can you preach like that? You know what? Because I fear the Lord, not you.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Look up here. I fear the Lord, not you.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Good preacher.
Don't shudder. Don't plan to leave tomorrow. Just listen. You can have the same confidence.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
You can have the same confidence when you go to witness to your lost loved ones.
Amen.
I fear the Lord. And in that fear of the Lord, I have strong confidence knowing that He's there with me, that I'm walking with Him, that He's walking with me, that I'm walking in light, that I'm walking in wisdom. And by the way, Christ is the wisdom of God, but it also, He also says it's the power of God. So the more wisdom I have, the more power with God that I have when I'm doing the work of God, and that gives me confidence.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
The preacher, we just don't know. I don't know. Nobody likes that anymore. You know, but you're fearing men.
Come on.
We don't have any fear of God because we're too worried about fearing man.
Yeah.
Come on.
What is that man? God says, don't fear that man that's going to hurt the body. You better fear the one that's going to take the soul and destroy it and take it all the way to hell.
That's right, brother. Come on.
Amen.
We don't fear God because we're too afraid of men. We're too afraid of what they might think. We want to win them to Christ, preacher. We do. Of course we do. I mean, come on. Don't give me that. Of course I know. I know about soul winning. I'm a soul winner myself. But I'm not going to take and compromise all of the fear of the Lord and run with the evil of this world and destroy my mind and my heart and my spirit just to win one soul who's a fool and despises everything I'm going to tell him anyway. I'm going to walk with God and I'm going to let Him do the work in the power of God and the wisdom of God and the confidence that He gives me.
Amen.
Amen. In the fear of the Lord. But notice the next part of that verse. Still a fruit, a blessing of the fear of the Lord. It says that I have confidence and His children. Whoa. Shall have a place of refuge.
Amen.
Oh, man. Brother, what? That's talking about me having confidence to do the work of God. And God, at the same time, is going to provide for my children. Provide safety for my children. Provide protection for my children. A refuge for my children. So, preacher, does that mean that they're all going to turn out right? If they fear the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
But if you don't fear the Lord, you might as well give up on them fearing the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well just hang it up. It ain't happening. Is it guaranteed that's going to happen when you... It's not even guaranteed it's going to happen when you fear the Lord. But the promise is there that if you do fear the Lord, they will have a place of refuge if they so choose to take it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what God says. You fear me, I'll give you confidence. And not only that, but I'll take care of your kids.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll give them a place of refuge, a place of safety. Why? Because you're fearing me.
Yeah.
Well, that's a blessing.
Thank God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I wish I could tell you that they all turn out. I know that you know better. We all know better. But remember, this is a choice.
That's right.
A choice to what? Hate evil.
Amen.
A choice to what? Say it with me. Hate evil. Say it with me again. This is a choice to hate evil. That's what the fear of the Lord is.
Amen.
Now, if I'll do that, I can have confidence. I mean, I can be so bold as to stand up and preach on the street corner. I can be so bold as to knock on somebody's door with a gospel tract and say, if you died today, are you 100% sure that you would be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And they go, well, who do you think you are? I'm nobody, but I tell you what, I have the confidence in the Lord to know that I'm have the right to ask you that question because you need to be saved.
Amen.
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 Hello.
Here, take that.
Amen, brother.
Maybe you need to hate evil a little more. Oh, I'm just playing with you, sort of. Quickly, 27. Same chapter, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Amen. Now, amen. It doesn't say a fountain of youth. Sorry. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. It doesn't say a fountain of youth. It says a fountain of life. Hurry up, preacher. Go on. Get on out of here. To depart from the snares of death. I like that. Life is directly opposite of death.
That's right.
Right? I have come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. And so the snares of death, of course, we're talking about above the flood in this year. So the snares of death are down there in that flood.
Yeah.
But see, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. A fountain, what does a fountain do? Raises up, right? A fountain, you know, shoots up, and like this one over here at the funeral home that freezes every time.
Yeah.
Every time the water, I guess they keep it running so it doesn't freeze, but yet it still freezes. But it's a fountain, right? It goes up higher above the snares. The snare, the fear of man bringeth a snare. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
The fear of man bringeth a snare, but the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about the Spirit of God filling our hearts where we're excited about Jesus again.
Amen.
Amen.
I understand. I know some of you talked about discouragement. And listen, I've been lower than the lowest rat hole, and everybody has if you're honest with yourself. You've been there before, but the only thing that you can do is get back up and realize that God is still life, and He's still love, and He's still liberty, and He's still hope, and He's still joy, and I'm still saved. I get back in that book, and I begin to realize that He has all the strength that I need, that I can fear Him, I can walk with Him in confidence, I cannot worry about what man could do unto me. I can live above death in life.
Amen.
I'm just simply saying to you, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life.
Amen.
I mean, life, when you sing, I mean, when's the last time you sung? I just got beside myself a little bit this afternoon preparing this message and just thinking about all this. And I just got my guitar out of here and I was singing a special to myself.
Amen.
Amen.
You're a weird preacher. No, I just think that life should be life.
Amen, brother.
This is not life.
That's right.
That's not life.
That's right.
Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah, I'm saved. Saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
Amen.
That's life, man. Just a song in your heart, a spring in your step. A thought of Jesus on every thought of your mind. It's life. It's no more death. It gets me out of the snares of that death and despondency and discouragement and depression. I know it's real. I'm not making light of it. But fear God, hate evil, and realize He will lift you up above all of that again.
Amen.
We could have revival before we even had revival.
Amen.
Proverbs 15, verse 16. So this ain't much of an outline. I'm still having fun. Proverbs 15, verse 16. I hope you are, amen. Better, now, here's where I'm going to get some of you. I'm going to lose some of you. I think I might have already lost some of you, but I'm going to lose some of you here. Verse 16, Proverbs 15. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith.
Absolutely.
What does God mean there, preacher? Well, I'm going to tell you the best I know how that it's the fear of the Lord is more valuable than any earthly treasure.
Amen. That's right, brother. Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
And listen. Any earthly treasure that takes me away from that fear is trouble.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's what it says. It's trouble.
Right.
Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. We've been talking to the men. And boy, I tell you what, I don't know about you men, but Abraham is really helping me these last few weeks in my own personal life. Abraham dwelt in tents for over 100 years. He just dwelt in tents. He just went from place to place, dwelt in a tent, built an altar. Why did he build an altar? Because he had to have church somewhere.
Yeah, amen.
He's a church planter. Come on, he's a church planter. He went from place to place in a church, in a tent, and planted a church everywhere he went.
Amen.
Glory to God. I like it. But he was a nomad, if you will, just a church, just a sojourner, just a pilgrim and a stranger in a strange land, just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. If I gotta have a little, I'm gonna have a little. But I'm not gonna give up the fear of God. I'm not gonna give up the walking the fear of God, the confidence. Listen, you know what? When you get yourself in sin, you don't have any more confidence.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
You're scared of your own shadow.
Yeah.
The fear of the Lord is to what?
Hate evil.
Hate sin. Exactly. So the fear of the Lord, hating evil, so it's better than to have a little. So you mean, preacher, I got to trade in the treasures that this world is trying to offer me so I can keep the fear of the Lord? That's exactly what I'm saying. And that's why we don't understand it.
That's right.
We'll bend over backwards to make a buck.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, we'll work any time, day or night, to make a buck.
Come on. Preach.
And all you're doing is bringing trouble to your soul. All you're doing is bringing a snare of death to your life.
Right. Amen. Yeah, amen.
I mean, we'll play the lottery. We'll scratch those tickets. We'll do everything we can because we just on that outside chance, you know, that I'm going to win. That ain't nothing but trouble.
That's right.
Trouble.
Absolutely.
Godliness with contentment is all I need.
Amen.
Be a God. What's a God? It means to fear the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, that's all I need. That's the biggest thing I can find in life. To be a godly man who fears God, who walks with God, who hates evil. And whether I have little or whether I have lot, I just want whatever God gives me is all I need. I'm just going to be godly and content. And that's easy to say when my cupboards are full and my car's full of gas and my house, the lights are paid and everything. But listen to me. If you'll fear God and walk with God day after day after day and be faithful, let God provide for you. He'll do it. Why? Because He's confidence and He's life. There's nothing in this world that's going to compare to the treasures that God will give you.
Amen, brother.
Remember, I talked about the place of refuge for your children.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that's more than any job can pay me.
Amen. Yeah.
Not that any job does pay me. Verse 33, same chapter. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. This goes very, very closely related to what I just read. But humility is required for me to fear the Lord.
Amen.
Humility. Why do I have to have humility to fear the Lord, preacher? Because I have to do whatever He says.
Right.
Even if I look foolish.
Right.
Amen.
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 Even if I have little.
Thank God.
Even if I am little.
Amen.
Amen.
But that's what God wants for me.
That's right.
That's what God wants me to do.
Amen.
So if I'm going to fear the Lord, you know what? I'm going to have to be humble. But I want you to understand that humility brings what? Honor.
Yes.
That's right.
Honor. Oh, not the world's honor. Not even your own brethren's honor.
Right.
Not always. but God's honor.
Amen.
Amen.
What if I have to give up? I mean, I'm telling you what, I don't always want to talk about giving stuff up, but Paul said, I count all things loss that I might gain Christ.
Yeah.
For to me to live is Christ.
Amen.
I mean, to die is gain. He said, I'd rather die than live, but if, as long as I got to live, it's Christ. That's all it is to me. That's the fear of the Lord. We don't understand it. We don't understand it, do we? Why are you looking at me like that? I can't figure that out, preacher. It's easy to figure out. It just goes against every bit of our culture.
That's right.
It brings honor, but not before humility. I want you to look in 22:4, chapter 22, verse 4, along these same lines. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You know, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I think the Bible says that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anything to leave as far as this world's concerned.
Okay.
I mean, do you want the broke down van or the Suburban with 250,000 miles on it? Or you want the rental house that ain't mine anyway? Or do you want the clothes that I got for $3? I don't have worldly possessions to give to my children. But if I can leave them the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If my will, last will and testament, it's not very long. It's not like 4 or 5 pages. It's not very long. But you know, I just want the riches and the honor and the life that the fear of the Lord gives.
Amen.
Far greater. If my children could remember and say, my dad feared the Lord. If a church family could say, you know what, my preacher's not the... We don't have the biggest church. We don't have the fanciest church. But you know, I believe that my preacher fears the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Proverbs, go back to 19, verse 23. And I'm almost done. 19:23. I really like this is one sums it all up, really. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. We talked about that. But notice, he that hath it, of course it's your choice, shall abide satisfied. Notice this, he shall not be visited with evil. Isn't that something?
Praise God.
Oh, what a promise.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me, preacher? No, I'm not. That's exactly. I mean, that's that old King James Bible. That's too hard to understand. I mean, you know, we've got to rewrite it. No, we don't. We just need to read it. It says, "He shall not be visited with evil."
Yeah.
Well, because he's got a doctorate in this and a theology, and no. Because he's been to this school and that school. Because his church runs this many people. Because he's no. Because of the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
There's protection there. Hey, how about that peace? How about just abiding satisfied? I've talked about contentment already, but let me just reiterate that. Just peace in your heart, knowing that whether, you know, I may not have everything that everybody else has, or I may not be able to go everywhere everybody else goes, or I may not have the new shoes, or the new car, or the new house, or the new hairdo. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I mean, my soul hairdos, but ladies, that's something to you, I think. But I may not have all that. but I can abide satisfied.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. You know what that means? I can go to bed tonight,
right,
and I can snore like a baby.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
I almost said sleep like a baby, but I might as well be honest.
Yeah,
I can snore like a baby. Peace and contentment and protection. I'm telling you what, I've convinced myself that I need to fear the Lord more. I don't know about you. Better yet, let me say it. God has very much so convinced me that I need to fear the Lord more.
Yes.
How many people really understand it? Well, I think we do now.
Yeah,
I think we do now.
Absolutely.
But here's the question, right? What are we going to choose? What are we going to choose? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Lord, you showed up here tonight and you blessed us and you spoke to our hearts. Lord, we're so thankful. Oh, how we need to fear you more, to obey, to hate evil. Lord, to despise the things that you despise, the things that destroy our brethren, destroy our sister, destroy our churches, destroy our children. Lord, I pray that you give us a perfect hatred for evil tonight, that you'd renew our hatred for evil as we fear you, as we learn to fear you, what it really means, to obey you because you're trying to keep us from the evil way. You're trying to keep us out of evil. Lord, we live in fear of man, what man's going to say, what man's going to think. What man's going to do. God, forgive us. Oh, please, God, help us tonight. Bless your people, Lord. I thank you for their attention. I pray you'd bless this invitation, God. Lord, these teenagers in here, these young people, Lord, they don't understand it. Their parents, many of their parents, oh God, that aren't in church, or Lord, we need revival, God, of fearing the Lord, hating evil. We need our teenagers, Lord, to grow up understanding the fear of the Lord. Please, God, revive our hearts tonight.